Good evening, everybody. It is good to see all of y'all again. It has been quite a while, and I apologize for that. We have been very busy, Tate and I, but we are extremely grateful for all of you, and we do love you all very much. And we missed you quite a lot as well, I promise you that. I talked to Obed relatively often. He's been a little preoccupied as of late, just to put that, you know, and I'm sure most of you that know. But he's been a bit preoccupied as of late, so we haven't been talking as long as we usually do. But he does tell me all of the goings on and how everybody's doing. It's nice. And I like hearing how y'all are doing well. It is good. All right. As always, before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Any volunteers? I saw one hand for Zach. We'll let him get it today. Thank you. All right. So when Obed asked me to teach class tonight to cover for him, I went to my beautiful wife and I asked her, what should I do? And she says, you have done so many psalms at Southeast, you should try something else. So we're going to try something else. Today, if you don't mind opening up your Bibles to the book of Jude. Jude is where we're going to be tonight. Now, as you're opening up Jude, I want you to be considering a few thoughts. One, the type of literature we're looking at are epistle literatures, which means they are letters, which means they were written for a specific purpose. They were written to a specific either person or people or a specific group, right? And they were written by a specific person. Generally, you're going to get all of that in verses 1 and 2. Usually in the letter, sometimes not. But that thought in mind, let's read Jude 1, verse 1 and 2. Jude, there's our writer, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now here's who he's writing to. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So my question is, who is he writing to? Who is Jude talking to? Christians, right? The Christians of his day. Christians, and if we were to read it and use it in ourselves, in a sense, he's also talking to us, right? Very specific people, which means that the things that we are about to discuss, the things that we are about to understand and read from this letter, who are they for? Christians. A lot of times we like to take these letters and these epistles, and a lot of times the world will take these letters and these epistles, and they will use them to apply to anybody and everybody. However, who is it written to? Christians. So who should this be affecting the most? Now, yes, does God's word apply to every single person, regardless how old or how young or what they do or don't do or whatever? Division you could think of? Yes, it does. However, God is specifically writing to individuals that he is speaking to. Now, I do appreciate what our brother did in his lesson. I do fully appreciate that. That was very encouraging. And it is perfect, because talking to Christians, talking to the church, right, we have to remember, just like he said, there is intrinsic value in being a Christian. God finds you and I valuable. Think about this. If you were not valuable, would he have died for you? If you were not worth something to him? Not only that, now that you have been created in his image both physically and spiritually, as a Christian, that is, Ephesians, how much more value do you have? After all, watch this. Verse 1. So we get through that little intro of Jude, and then we get to those who are called, that is, literally, saints, sanctified, set apart by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ. What does that tell us about Christians in Jude and in really in God's perspective? What does that mean to us? Just in that verse alone, and I'll give you a hint, it has to do with value. What do you do with something that's important to you? Do you put it out into the world, like literally outside to let it just get destroyed by the elements? No, you protect it. You keep it safe, right? What else do you do? Right? Generally, we have this idea, right? You set something up on a pedestal. You set it apart from other things to move it apart. Kind of a similar idea. You have been set apart. You have been pulled away from these other things. Why? Because what do you have according to God? Why would you do that? The soul is very valuable, but specifically what kind of a soul, as opposed to the opposite, those that have not yet been set apart? A spiritual soul, an obedient soul, a saint. You and I are called, as Christians, we are called to be Christians, yes, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. However, you and I are also saints, literally, living saints. Set apart. And you are preserved, protected, kept in a very specific area to keep safe, to keep clean. So when you talk about, and we talk about the church, those are the people we're talking about, these types of individuals. Now, remember this though, because the church, even though it has not yet been fully realized in the sense of judgment day has not yet come, guess what? We have to live in the world. That does not mean we're part of it, but we have to live in it. So what does that do for us? Does that mean that there are intrinsic risks involved? There are dangers. There are those that will come in. There are those that may try to cause harm to the Lord's church. We know that, right? Happened in the first century. Is it happening today? Yes. So the idea then for Jude, verse 3, beloved. There's his value. Clearly, he finds them personally beloved, those that he loves. While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So, verse 3. I know this is kind of the middle of a quick section, but notice this in the very first sentence. While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. Does anybody know what the word diligent means? What is it? Yes, persistent. What else? Yes, another version of persistence, right? But now watch this. Haste. Speed. Not only is it persistence in that you continue to do it, you continue to think about it, you continue to write about it, you are doing it quickly. Peter will say, right, give all diligence to add to your faith, all of these lists that he will list off, right? First Peter, do it not only persistently, but do it with speed, as fast as possible, right? Beloved, while I was very diligent, while I was very speedy and persistent to write to you, concerning our common salvation. Now, does that mean that our salvation in and of itself is common? No. What does that really mean then? Why does he call it common? Or why is the word there common? Exactly. Because who's he writing to? Who's he writing to? Saints, Christians. This is something that is common between saints, but it is not common to the world. This is common between the brethren. You all and I share that salvation. I found it, necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. What does that mean? What does it mean to contend? Protect to defend. Another word, literally, fight. Fight for it. Fight, defend, protect earnestly, similar to diligence there, for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Here's why, verse 4. For, because certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting here, right? So remember those intrinsic risks, as you call. We, as a saint, right? We are in the world. We are not of the world. However, what could happen? According to verse 4, where are the dangers? Some of the dangers. What is it? On the inside, yes. There are some dangers on the inside. Individuals who come in unnoticed. That can cause problems. Who specifically are marked out for this condemnation? The idea, they are able to be clearly seen. It is as if you put a target on them. You can notice them. Ungodly men who do what? What is the reason why they are ungodly? What is the reason why they are dangerous? What do they do? What is it? Oh, sorry. What is it? They deny, right? They deny the Lord, the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. But what else do they do? Go a little higher up. Yes, they turn the grace of our God into lewdness. Another word there, lawlessness. Another word there, something that is not, what is it? Immorality, yes. They turn it into immorality, and they deny. Now, here's a question. What does that sound like if you are a first century reader and you have someone who is taking what is, no,
The first Thank you. Thank you. Texas and San Antonio athletics.
Thank you.